Good morning to the world, according to Velvet. We're here on Blog Talk Radio, and I have some special guests. We haven't talked in a few weeks, and so it's great that we're going to get a catch up with how Jacob and Jen are doing. And in fact, I'm going to bring them on the air right now, and we're going to begin our conversation. Jacob and Jen, how are you?
Doing very well, Velvet. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this epic winter that we're having here. So,
and we're enjoying the other end of that season. We're enjoying sunshine. So, sunshine in about 70s.
I think I 70 would be nice, but I'm kind of digging on this cold. So, tell me what you guys have been up to since we talked last, kind of in a nutshell.
Well, we've really been going back to the work the last 3 days. Jen was sick for about a week and a half, so that during that time we were just doing some editing and that sort of stuff. And then we were also attempting to sell an RV. So it was very, we were doing very physical work, trying to work in the world of dealing with people trying to buy an RV. And it was very fascinating because I don't deal with that world very often, actually. So for me, it was many, many, many great lessons on how to just release attachment, really. To my own clinging, to my own understanding of what I think is right and what I think is wrong. And it was just very beautiful to have that mirroring effect over the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And so you did sell it?
We did, yeah. We were able to sell it within the last week. Actually, on December 31st, which was beautiful. We sold it at about 5 o'clock on December 31st. So it was a beautiful
Perfect.
Way to ring in the new year and just to celebrate the clearing away of all obstacles, all obscurations that impede the path. And again, it was my own view, my own incorrect view that was really limiting that aspect from taking place.
Well, that's cool.
I think we were just really coming into conflict with the system, how it stands right now, how people, and this is probably not, I know this is not the case in Montana, except very few, which made it harder for us because we haven't really dealt this kind of system before, but it's just like people don't treat each other like humans, and all of this, the whole system is kind of based, well, not kind of, it's based on lies and separation, and it's really hard to go into that system and be a human and be full of love and trust and stuff like that. So it really, for me, it brought me back to, you know, we were both born in 1985, and I think for a lot of this generation, it's like we've always just known like lies and illusion. We've never really had a public authority figure of hope and truth, at least not one that's been popular. So it just brought me back to a lot of like what I thought of as a kid, like even starting at like 5, just that why do people like participate in a system that is just so just separate, and it's just so not natural. And so I really had to go into that and then really, I wouldn't say stop judging it, but I would just say come to a neutral understanding and realize that it's dying and
that's okay.
And that's okay. And it's okay that it persisted for this long. It is what it is, I guess. I'm still not like completely over that experience or like integrated through that experience, but I definitely have a better perspective instead of like the first few days just being like completely angry, like that humans can't treat other humans like humans, like that we can't have this humanity and this love in that system. But anyways, yeah.
So, and you sold it on the 31st, which brings us to 2015, which we are now in, Yahoo. And let's talk a little bit about the dreams for 2015 and what, you know, when you emailed me about what you wanted to talk about, why don't you explain that so our listeners can understand what you're talking about?
Well, I'll go first. For me, what I mean when I say 2015 is the year of the dreamer, I'm referring to where first we have to really do the internal work. I feel the past few years, a lot of us were throwing the spotlight inside to work on our own our own illusions, really, and to really go through our emotions, our afflictive emotions, and just anything that was holding us back from becoming, you know, our highest, our most potent form of medicine on this planet. And I feel 2015 is where we all come together collectively and dream a new world that we wish to live in. But we dream it not only amongst our own species, but with all the species on this planet and with the Earth herself consciously. And we bring her about consciously in many different forms to really see what that dream looks like. For me, I see 2015 as the year of balance, where we come back into balance and harmony within ourselves, within the sexes of our species, and within our species as just one species on this planet.
Nice. And what about you, Jen?
I see 2015, my dream for the year is just kind of coincides with Jacob's, but it's just connection, true connection to ourselves, and then really truly connecting to other people, other humans, and then connecting to nature and Earth through whatever means, even in the smallest ways or collectively. I feel that any solutions, and we've been really asking people that we've been meeting about their, you know, their solutions, their dreams, I guess, is a better word, because solutions is a weird word for me. But, yeah, I forgot where I was going with that.
And for me, I want to be very clear with the distinction of dreaming. When we use the dreaming technique of dreaming together, we're referring to the true imagination, not the fantastic imagination. And really the only way to distinguish that is to go inside and to know where you're coming from, where that dream is coming from as it erupts from you. If you're holding on to certain attachment or certain delusional views, or if you're in a state of openness, a state of expansion, a state of formlessness, of emptiness, for this spontaneous eruption of dreaming to come forward.
And I think that's what I mean by connection. It's just, I think the first step is just connecting to our true selves individually with Earth, and then, you know, stepping out and really connecting with other humans, you know, looking people in the eye, like you said about Swaraj, and yeah, just that deep connection. And I think once we really master that deep connection, the dreams will just kind of spontaneously arise and spontaneously almost manifest themselves and build themselves through us. Through our communities. But I think it really starts with that really deep connection with ourselves. And like Jacob said, beyond illusions and beyond attachments, even attachments that seem valid. You know, like I said, I was really dealing with the way humanity is in a system right now. It really triggered me. And so even what I viewed as a valid claim, I really still have to go through that and become neutral on that, I guess, to an extent, and use that anger that I label it vitriol that I feel and use it to just dissolve any of those structures within myself. Because really, as I'm looking out and viewing the system, and we were listening to NPR too at certain times, and I just, like, I can't do that anymore. At this point, because it's just, like, it's just angering and absurd. And but then I realized all of those things only exist if I think that they exist. They only exist within me. And,
right.
You know, that system must exist within me. And so I need to use that anger and that vitriol and really allow that to dissolve within myself and take responsibility for it. And
yeah,
once
and
I think do that, then I can go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I do have another caller on the air or on the line, and I'm going to connect them here in a sec. Just I want to acknowledge that they're there. But I also want to say that everything you guys are saying, when I did my show on the Cancer Full Moon, everything that you're saying is supported by this first full moon of the year, which is in a cardinal sign, Cancer, and the sun is in a cardinal sign. So it's this initiatory energy that is totally about what you guys are talking about. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and let this caller come into our conversation. You okay with that?
Absolutely.
Let's bring him on. Okay. Hello, are you there? New caller? Hello? You there? Well, I've never done this before, so I'm not exactly sure how to bring another caller in when we already have two callers on. I think we can all talk, but I'm not sure. So anyway, if you caller with the 313 area code, if you can talk, please. If you want to talk, please do. If you want to just listen, that's fine too. So the other thing that we were going to talk about, besides the dream for 2015, and before we move on to the next topic, I just want to say a couple things about that full moon on Sunday. Was that Mars at 25 degrees Aquarius was about us remembering that we are an organism, and that organism includes all of humanity, it includes the Earth and all beings on this planet, and that as a organism, we can dream the new world, dream the new Earth, kind of an overused expression, but, you know, dream a new dream for our planet. And so, and Neptune being in Pisces right now is also supporting us dream a new dream for our planet, because Pisces is very tied to the collective and Neptune is the dreamer. So anyway, I think we can, the more we talk about our shared dream and what we want to create as a collective and focus on and be inspired by what we want to dream, the greater the potential that we have. Because that brings me to the other thing that you were talking about, is the emotions, all the emotions that are coming up to be released. And everything I am beginning to understand about feelings and emotion is that it is feelings that help us create magic. It helps us manifest in the world. We need strong feelings to do it. But what I just have learned about feelings is that feelings are these little energy packets in our body. And something happens that triggers the feeling, okay, like your vitriol or your anger at the system. What I've been learning is if we make a judgment of the emotion or try to suppress the emotion, we do not unlock that energy packet. And if we don't unlock that energy packet, then it kind of stays in our system. And, you know, the theory is that we keep bringing things into our lives that are going to unlock those energy packets for us so we can free them from our emotional body and then have that divine connection that comes from feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a good diagnosis of the time we're living in, because we're all taught, we're actually taught how to do that. We're taught to take in these emotions and to suppress them and then not pay attention to them, to not move into them, not release them. We're actually taught to allow or to make them more dense and hold them in our bodies, which is fascinating to me that we've gone that route. But I feel this is a time where these emotions, these feelings are actually just coming back up to the surface like a volcano. To where we cannot pay it, where we are forced to pay attention to them. And what I've been shown very clearly is that when they do this, it's a very beautiful opportunity, and we have to really be careful with when we label these emotions, because they are not anger, they are not jealousy, they are not rage, they're not anything. They're actually just the force of energy itself that wants to be honored and wants to be understood. So when it comes up for us to really engage with and really to focus upon, we want to sit there and just feel it into our bodies, and then by feeling it, we'll open up and we'll expand and we'll know what to do with it. It'll bring about clarity. It'll bring about the willingness to actually take action with that energy, as opposed to labeling it anger or to disassociating ourselves from it and acting like it's something that's negative, when in actuality it's just neutral. Just like many of the tools on this planet, they're neutral, but it's how we use them. It's how we utilize the gifts that we've been given.
Yeah, and what I've just been learning is that those feeling bodies are associated with our second chakra, and it's from 6 months to 2.5 years where we learn how to handle the feelings. And then what this one energy worker was talking about is that anytime we name it or judge it, then that's when it becomes an emotion. And then when it becomes an emotion, then we can't release it. And so what I've been learning this last weekend is it's our heart that unlocks the feeling body, the energy packet associated with the feeling. And then it's the pericardium, the geometry of the pericardium, that actually spins that energy and transmutes it into almost what I perceive as rainbow rays. That these feeling packets are vibrational packets that when they're released are colors. And it's sort of, Jacob, maybe you know more about the rainbow body of light that the Buddhists talk about. But I know that there are other practices that talk about these rainbow bodies. And I think it's all of these feelings that have been opened and unlocked and are just pure energy.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like, you know, right now, a lot of people might say, well, how? And what I would say to them is to do some sort of, and I hesitate to use the word discipline, but something like just connecting to a tree, literally hugging a tree, yoga, something that really brings you into your heart so that you know at those times, like me, just from my personal experience, like you're listening to, you know, the news and it just says something about, like, I don't even want to bring it into this conversation, but it just says something and you just, you know, like you say, the feelings come up that you have that practice and the whole, any practice, Tai Chi, whatever, is just bringing us into our hearts so that when that moment hits and the feeling arises within us, we can immediately open our hearts so that, like you say, that those natural processes can take place so that we don't shut our hearts down and then shove that, what would become an emotion in what you read, shove that emotion in some part of our body, whether it's our knee, whether it's our head, whether it's our, you know, stomach, digestive system, and then, you know, dis-ease manifests within our body, and then we wonder why. So I think that for me personally, just some sort of discipline where no matter what it is, I'm always focusing on really opening my heart and feeling what that feels like, feeling the depths of connection to myself. And that's what I'm really dreaming for this year.
I mean, Jen brings up a very powerful point. And by doing techniques like that, not only are we finally working through the trauma that we've encapsulated into our body over our lifetime or many lifetimes, but then we're actually dealing with, we're not allowing any new energies, any new densities to come into our body. We're processing everything in real time and allowing it that full release of expression in that moment. So we're not taking on any more garbage into our body, basically.
Yes, yes. And I think both of what you're saying, what you're both saying is very potent and very powerful, because as I've been processing this understanding over the last, since this weekend, I had my apprenticeship class and it sort of came through the class, is that any practice that helps you just be the observer and the compassionate witness for what is in front of you and what is stirred by what is in front of you, that, and then you find a way through your own practice or discipline. And I think Jen's right about just opening the heart and letting the heart open and the pericardium transmute, you turn it into a usable form of energy. And what I was also, I've been thinking about this for a couple of years, is that it feels like these moving disciplines, these ones that move the body, whether it's Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga, or I think just walking outside in the woods or in just out in the on the land, I think these moving practices will really support this process as well.
Absolutely, because, you know, like you said, some of those emotions get stuck in different parts of your body, like your knee or you know, your foot or whatever. And so we've been doing a lot of Kundalini yoga and also a lot of walking. Yeah, and also I'd like to add that I've been taking cold showers and it's really helping, especially like the hot cold. I know you used to do the hot cold velvet. I don't know if you do that anymore, but it really moves. Yeah, it really moves a lot of stuff. I remember I did it for a long time and then I stopped, but I just recently started doing it again. And it doesn't just move a lot of, like, the lymphatic stuff, but it just, you know, there's layers to it. It moves a lot of emotional stuff. It moves a lot of stuff within my body. So if anyone's out there, cold showers, Google it.
Hydrotherapy. Yep. Go roll around in the snow or take a sauna and then go in the snow. I think that's a very powerful, that helps your body like flush it out, I think, too. Well, so the other thing about what's happening right now, I've been thinking a lot about Saturn moving into Sagittarius. And Saturn in Sagittarius is, from my perspective, activating the divine blueprint or our sacred blueprint, the geometry that the body talk people say is stored in our sacrum. And I'm really feeling that that is totally being activated right now. I don't know if you guys have had any sacral experiences, if your sacrums are tight or your legs, because it's your hips and your thighs that are being hit by Saturn in Sagittarius.
The only experience I've had is I've been doing Bound Lotus and Kundalini yoga almost every day. And so I haven't felt anything really in my sacrum, but also it's funny you mentioned that because in my cold showers, I've really been letting the cold water hit my sacrum. So, maybe that's just moving a lot of stuff.
And the other thing I understand about the divine blueprint, and that's kind of the basis of this modality that has kind of come through me, is that ultimately we get to the point where that original blueprint of creation is activated. And I get the sense it's happening for people on different levels. I get there's like a 3D blueprint, a 4D, 5D, you know, wherever we come from, so to speak, that is activating. And I think there are different levels of activation. And because I see it as a geometry and as electrical, that any break in the geometry is keeping the blueprint, so to speak, from functioning properly. And the other thing that I think is important with the activation of this divine blueprint is that we're grounded, that our bodies can hold the energy of that activated blueprint. And so how are you connecting and working with that groundedness? You went to those 5,000-year-old trees. Tell us about those.
Well, first, I just want to say that the blueprint that you're talking about, that is our endowment as a species. This isn't something that's just coming to us at this time. This is how the human was calibrated out of space and time. But the only way to access that calibration is to have a connection to the Earth Mother herself, because she calibrated that. That's why we're on this planet at this time, is to realize that endowment, which is our true endowment out of space and time. It's always been here with us. But this is the time where we actually bring it to Earth. We actually embody it. Anyone on this planet right now can embody it with their own individual frequencies. But there is only that one blueprint out of space and time. It is just the anthropic blueprint. And then we all torrent in with that blueprint. And now it's time for us to realize that in time. But the only way to access that, as far as I'm concerned, is to have a deep and profound connection to the planet herself, to the wisdom goddess known as Gaia or Sophia, however you want to term her.
Yeah, I totally agree, because otherwise you can't hold the energy.
No, and why would you be here? I mean, if you want to be a 7th, 8th, 9th dimensional being, you wouldn't be on planet Earth. We have to really understand where we are. You have to really know your story on this planet before you can act like you can understand the cosmic story. A lot of people just go off planet right away and start to dissect the cosmos. But no one really understands the story of the Earth herself and what she's gone through. And I think that's the time that we're living in right now, is where that dream or her dream, as we both consciously wake up within the dream, that story will come through us as human animals, and we'll be able to articulate that dream and actually see it, witness what she witnessed as she incarnated in her own right.
I agree, but I think that we are multidimensional. I don't think we're just 3D.
Well, we are, but we're on this planet right now. We're on Earth for a specific reason. I mean, we can worry about where we all come from after we're not on this planet anymore, but we're on this planet at this time for a specific reason, to bring our universal frequencies on this planet. So obviously,
right,
we do have to have a connection to our source as well, but we all are from the same source. We all emanate from the great mystery, from the originator, into space and time, and so does the Earth. But we're all on this planet at this time because of what she's about to do. This is a very unique experience in the cosmos. That's why we're all here. That's why we're becoming conscious and why we're becoming aware at this time. And I think that's the big blockage, is a lot of people want to go off planet and create a story right away, but the dream is right before us. It's literally, it's erupting within us at this moment to behold and to experience and to bring into reality on a daily basis, whether we're brushing our teeth, taking a shower, taking out the garbage, to be fully aware and fully conscious, full of mind in that space, knowing that we hold the frequency of the Earth, the cosmos, all in our heart, all in our being, in our molecular makeup, simultaneously.
I agree. I totally agree. I guess I just look at it a little differently.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of these conversations, where we get to bring our story, you know, to one another and really see what resonates, you know, and have these beautiful, beautiful dialogues of understanding. And, you know, we take away different things from every conversation that we have, as long as we listen truly with our hearts.
Yeah, I agree. And so tell me about the trees. I want to hear about the trees.
They were very beautiful. We did some chanting near one of the trees, and I took off my shoes and put my feet on the tree. I mean, it's a 5,064-year-old being, which I can't really fathom mentally at all. And they just look, I guess you could say the bark, but not really the bark, because there really isn't any bark, but like the designs on the outside of the trees look like kind of these toroidal, swirling, I should just post pictures, but every single thing about the trees it was just like one big, like, coded teaching in my eyes. And when I did the meditation near the tree, I was told that the trees were actually, those particular trees are actually just stars, but they're just like rooted stars. They're stars that have roots. And I don't really know what that means. Maybe, I don't know if you have a reference for that at all, Velvet, but that's what I was told. And, I was just in awe of all of those trees. Everything about them just seemed like a teaching. And the birds around them were just like these protectors. Like, you could just tell that it was at 11,000 feet, and clearly these birds were just generations of birds who have just been there protecting the trees and maybe communing with the trees. And the trees overlooked the Nevada and California, basically.
Okay. Okay. The border then. Wow.
Yeah.
So we have about a minute. So is there anything that either of you or both of you would like to say before we say adieu?
I mean, a profound meditation that I've been experiencing over the past couple of weeks is just, you know, going deep within our hearts and then moving from our hearts into the depths of the earth, torrenting back up into our bodies and supernovaing into the cosmos, and then raining down that wisdom nectar from all that is into our bodies, and really just holding all the frequencies simultaneously. We are that magnificent, and we can do it. And we can do it in every action and every thought and every way of life.
Jen?
I don't really have anything really more to add, except for just creating a deep connection with ourselves and creating a deep connection with where our souls are from, I guess, and Earth herself.
Well, thank you. We might be off. I'm not sure. We've run out of time. I just would like to say thank you for the work that you two are doing out in the world. And whoever this other caller is, I thank you for listening in and adding your energetic support to this conversation. And if it works out next week, same time?
Yep. Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Hello?
Thank you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Over and out from planet Earth. This is Bill.
Ditto.
Bye-bye.